You know, there are some words or phrases that when you hear them, everything changes. Like words, phrases that have been shared with actually both of the families that ended up sharing today. The phrase, "I do," right? Once that's said, everything changes. Even if you end up, you know, regretting it, it still changes everything. Don't point at anyone. But it's one of those phrases that everything changes when you hear it, when you encounter that. The phrase, "It's a girl," "It's a boy." I remember when I first saw the ultrasound of our oldest daughter. And I think I've told you this before, you know, when I first heard that, you know, it's a girl, it's a girl. The first thing I thought is, I have to pay for the wedding. Isn't that crazy? The first thing that came through my mind. I don't even know why that is. And I don't know, Steve, would you be able to help us out? The sound is acting really funny and muffly. Does that sound weird to you out there? It's all muffly and weird to me. All right. Well, maybe it's just something wrong with my head, but if you can fix my head, that would be great. Well, today I just want to speak just briefly, but one really just big idea. Like, for some reason, Steve, all the sound seems to be coming out there and there's nothing over here, so I don't know what's going on. Anyways, one big idea as we open up God's Word. If you have your Bibles or your app or something with you, we're going to read a section of Luke chapter 1 and then Luke chapter 2 for this one big idea. When you encounter Jesus, everything changes. You cannot go away from that the same. Like, for example, in Luke chapter 1, and starting with verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him," what? "Jesus." I'm going to jump up to verse 38. And Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Then jumping up to Luke chapter 2, words that are probably very, very familiar. I remember, you know, reading this story as a family every Christmas morning. Maybe you do the same thing. If not, I recommend it. In the Thompson family, we do this every morning or Christmas morning, and it involves little figurines. So we act it out, you know, with the little action figures, just so that you know how it really happened. But you can do it however you want. Anyways, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. You may remember that if you've ever had any parents or an aunt, an uncle. You remember that day, don't you? The time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were what? You ever notice in the scriptures when somebody meets an angel, what's the thing they need? They need a clean pair of shorts. That's what they need, right? So I don't know where when you see the TV shows, you know, like Touched by an Angel, and there's this beautiful woman shows up with wings, and you're like, this isn't a scary thing. This is a good thing. Well, when angels show up in scripture, It's a scary thing, not because it's a bad thing, it's a good thing. But when we meet God face to face, it is intimidating. It's intimidating. And it's intimidating to these shepherds too. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is who? A Messiah? The Messiah. A Lord? The Lord. Not one option among many. Not, hey, a great teacher, if it works for you, that's great. The Messiah. The Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning all that concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were what? Amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Remember, I was 13 years old, and a friend of mine invited me to come to a winter youth rally, and the speaker there, Neil Josephson, talked about how important it is that we have not just a knowledge of God, but a personal relationship with God. And I remember when he said, you know, if you would like to call out to Jesus today and say, "Lord, I want to receive you as my Savior and Lord. I want you to lift up your hand." And we did like every head bowed, every eyes closed. Of course, we're all peeking around. You know, that's what you do. It's the game. It's a game you play. So you put up your hand. I remember just putting my hand. It was just so shaky. I had no idea all of what it would mean. But, you know, that day, something changed in me. You know, and that's the same story for Mary. It's the same story for the shepherds. When we encounter Jesus, not just know about Jesus, but we encounter him, we get this sense of this is a God who wants to have a relationship with me. Everything changes. Because you see, the Bible makes this really audacious claim that Christmas we have to kind of wrestle with. It's this idea that God, I mean, the one that created the universe, everything, the one that molds and shapes history, that God came to earth as a little baby in the straw. That God came to earth. That's what the Bible tells us. Came to earth as a little baby in human form, a God-man, fully human, fully God. And this little human God-man grew up. He ate, he slept, he had friends, probably skinned his knee. He worked with his dad, who was a carpenter. He was a working-class guy. He taught. And at about age 33... based on pressures from religious and political leaders, we killed him. We executed him on a Roman cross. But the Bible tells us that that's not the end of the story. That little baby, that man who was killed, rose again from the dead. And then more than 500 people saw him as a resurrected person walking around. And of those people, the majority of them would give their life rather than deny what they saw and heard and experienced that day. And the Bible tells us that shortly after, this Jesus ascended up into heaven and then promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, this sense of God being with us all the time, this God that we can interact with, this God that can live in our hearts, this God that can mold and shape our life. And those that have received him find that their lives get changed, just like Mary and Joseph, just like the shepherds. When you encounter Jesus, things change. This great big idea. And so I just want to challenge you with this one question. How is your life different? Because you've encountered Christ. Because, you know, being a pastor, in case you're wondering, sometimes there are days that things can be kind of rough. If you want to know what stress looks like, come ride on my shoulders for a day or two. There's, you know, you encounter a lot of funny stuff some days in ministry, and just not that you don't in whatever career you're in. But one thing I don't encounter is hopelessness. I mean, you can have bad days, you can have days where you feel like you've been abandoned, you can have days where you're very, very down, but when you lock in on that central idea, that truth, that just maybe God is with us, just maybe God is with me, just maybe God has made the way for me to have a relationship with him, you find hope. You find second chances, you find healing, you find brand new life, just like the stories you've heard tonight of people that felt like they were hopeless. And then as they encounter Christ, whether that is for the first time or in a new way, they find new hope. They find new life. When we encounter Jesus, we cannot walk away unchanged. And maybe it's a little bit like, you know, when somebody gets married or you become a parent. You can pretend like it didn't happen. But on a core level, something is different. And some of you, you've had that story where, you know, maybe you heard it as a kid. You heard this message of God's love. You heard of how much Jesus wants to be a part of your life. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you learned that as a child. And maybe you've had times where you've wandered away from that, where you pretended like you'd forgotten. But it's still there on some level, isn't it? And you still come back to that. Or maybe for somebody today, this is something you really just haven't wrestled with yet in life. But maybe tonight you could. I mean, what if God has been trying to get your attention all along? What if God loves you so much that he came on a rescue mission from heaven? As Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Maybe God loves you that much. So as tonight we kind of start the whole Christmas weekend, and I hope you have an amazing time with friends and family and you enjoy all the goodness that Christmas can be. Hope you started off by considering just what kind of a difference does Jesus make in your life? What's changing? What's changed in you, and what's changing in you because of Jesus? And as the band comes up, we're going to close with a song, actually, and then head into a time of communion. There's an old gospel song that says, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus." Because there's no turning back. Though I may wander, still I will follow. though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. And as we sing that together, I'd just like you to consider how today those words are or could be real for you, where it's not just a song that we sing, but this becomes the story of your life. I've decided to follow Jesus. The truth is, once I have, though I stumble, though I mess up, though I have bad days, something on a core level in me has changed. And there's no turning back. I've been marked by this and changed by this forever. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the story of Christmas, the story of you coming to earth as an infant to humble yourself, to join our human race, our human mess, and to be born even into very humble circumstances. That the God of the universe would be placed in a manger on a pile of straw for the sake of love. Lord, for those that have heard this story, maybe even years and years and years ago, Lord, we pray that you would make it fresh today, tonight. And for each of us, God, thank you for the difference that it makes and it can make when we encounter you. May we commit to following you in fresh, new ways this Christmas season and in the year 2012. There's no turning back when we meet you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.